What do you call me?
Discombobulated.
Sometimes, I mean, I've been ran through a little bit. Let's just say that.
What'd you call me?
Ran through. Overused.
Girl, I have low mileage on this vehicular.
I did until the last, like, 3 months. I've been, like, doubled my number.
Stop traveling so much.
No, I have fun.
I don't have a respectable number, so I don't even care about it.
Well, I mean, my number wasn't small, but yeah, I probably doubled it in the last couple months. And I wouldn't change it for the world. You should, girl, you should. Ooh, last night's one.
Ooh. Oh, spill the tea.
Oh. Girl, three hands covered it.
Wow.
It was huge. It was huge. I may or may not have been a side of cream for, like, all my life. I can't help it. My first boyfriend had a 9.5-inch cock, if that tells you anything. So it just, and it's, I don't search for it. It just happens. It just, okay, maybe I just ignore the smaller ones, but I can't say that. The best sex I've ever had is a 6.5-inch cock, so. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, sometimes the size doesn't even matter, really, because you have to know how to use it.
Right. Well, see, I think, well, with the 6.5-inch one, which, because I've had, like, 7. I don't always go for, like, 9. I mean, those aren't very easy to find. I mean, you don't find it. You don't run by them every day. But it just, it hits that. There's just a spot there that one just, like, stops at, and it just, like, that, like, hacks it, you know?
Yeah. So, I get you.
Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby.
Hey, rolling with my homie. I don't know where that came from from the G. I don't know.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kind of a Big Deal podcast. I am your host, Terry Miller, and I am joined here with my co-host,
Doug Parks,
and my other co-host, hanging out with us all the way from Tennessee. It is
Craig.
Yes, it is.
Hey,
top motherfucking security.
So this week, we are actually sitting down to wrap up season 2 officially with our second part of our season finale. So this week we are actually answering all the questions that our kind fam sent in, plus some thought-provoking questions to get our juices flowing. Mind juices. Keep your head out of the gutter, Gianna. And and start getting us as hosts to open up and share things with you. So let's kick off the episode with asking our first question on the list. Why is it so hard for gay men to commit?
Well, I think it's just men in general, but men like dick. Hey, let's get some dick. I don't know.
I don't know. I think human nature is to always want what you can't have, and, like, nothing's ever good enough. And some people, that's just stronger in than others.
I can see that. I can agree with that on many senses of it is that there is going to be that drive for what having what you can't have.
That, and also they just, when you, there's people out there, when you tell them that you love them, they have to make you prove it. You almost have to prove that you love them in a sense. And it's fucked up.
And if you don't do it just how they want, then it's like, okay, well, bye.
Yeah,
or, I'll show you.
Oh, yeah. I dated this one guy, and I told him, he's like, love don't exist. And he, like, he treated me like shit for over a year. And I put up with it because I kept trying to make him think I loved him, you know, trying to make him believe I loved him. And eventually I told him to go fuck himself.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, see, I was. Go ahead.
I guess you're not able to really accept something if you don't believe that it is there or it does exist. So I would see where that would be an immense struggle as a human being to not believe in love, to be able to accept that love.
Yeah, I was always the person that would fight for it. It's like, well, I love you, but it's that whole, that level of love. There's so many different levels of love, and thankfully I now know that just because I love someone doesn't mean that I need to love them in a relationship manner.
I don't know. Are you gonna?
So
why is this dragging?
So our next question.
God, come on, wake up!
Get it together.
Can I not have one episode where I'm the high guy sitting here staring off into space?
You are high.
I am high, but usually it's you.
It's always me. Please, I'm out.
Yeah, that's true.
But I wasn't directing that at you. It was for all three of us sitting here. Calm your tits.
Come on, next question.
So our next question is, why are there not more verse gay men?
I don't know. I'm newly verse, so I can't really answer that question because I used to be a full bottom.
Because not everybody's come out yet. There's a whole bunch of people who, you know, I can't be gay. I don't want any ass. But they secretly want any ass. They just haven't come out of the closet yet.
Yeah, I think that it's a little bit of not feeling comfortable with yourself. And so it's definitely easier to bottom than it is to top on a mental standpoint. Because you can always spread your cheeks open. But to top, like, your shit's got to get hard and has to be able to work properly. And I think that has a big piece to it, is the mindset going into it, is people can't make their mindset be open to topping.
See, that's kind of funny to me because I, now that I like top more, now that I, when I try to bottom, it's hard for me to get hard. I've never had a problem getting hard when I bottom. But now it seems like I am because I think I like topping a little more now. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you switched your mindset. So you're into something a little different.
Girl, you went and got a little taste of something else good, and you like that too. It's perfectly all right.
Except for last night, I was real good.
Real good.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's something about a big dick bottom too.
They love me too. Yeah, they love that.
Oh,
that's why I was a bottom for so long.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The tops are into it. They love big dick bottoms.
But yeah, it's more to play with.
Why is polygamy more and more widespread?
Because people shouldn't deny themselves what they want.
Agreed. I think that I came from a very reserved, closed mind upbringing, so that now as an adult has created me to have more of a reserved, closed mind. And I think people just have more of an open mind, and that's where polygamy comes from, is that people are starting to open their mind more to the possibility of being with multiple people.
Well, growing up, my dad actually taught me and my brother it's okay for women, men to cheat, but not women. My brother, I think, holds to that today. I don't, you know, like, he might not hold to it, but it fucked him up in a lot of ways. And in his mind, he struggles with that, you know, being married and all. I don't think he cheats on his wife, but I think in some small part of his mind, he was taught that it's okay and he has to struggle with it. You know what I mean? Whereas me, it's like, fuck that. My dad's an asshole. I will never fucking go by anything he taught me unless it is actually morally right, which I really don't find often. But my dad, like, thought it was okay for him to run around and cheat on my mom and do all that shit. And she had to stay home and take care of the family. You know? So it's the same mindset. It's just closed up and hidden instead of being open.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah, I totally answered that question wrong. I thought it said why is it more widespread? Why it should be more widespread because people shouldn't deny themselves.
I think that's what the question was.
No, it says, why isn't it? Why is polygamy more? Oh, okay. Well, damn. You're right. Idiot. Oh, well. Okay. Okay, so the next question. Why did we fight for marriage equality and there are significantly less queer married couples? Damn, if I could learn to read. Sorry, guys. I fucked that up, too.
You're all right.
I actually never really believed in marriage just because of the way my family was growing up and watching everybody and the way they were. You know, marriage is just a joke to me. It's like something people do because they feel like they have to because they were raised to believe you grow up, you find a wife, you get married.
Yeah, I feel like we fought for it just because people fight for things that they don't have but other people have. But I was going to get married, but I don't really see the point in it because it's just a piece of paper. And usually when people get married, it causes more problems. I mean, honestly, because then they feel stuck.
Yeah. And I think that I completely agree with the whole feeling stuck thing. And I mean, I guess I come from a different perspective on this, being somebody that was in a marriage is, you almost lose your sense of self, like yourself, like your self-awareness, your self-love, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, your individuality eventually just disappears because it's all about this other person. And yeah, when you're in a relationship, it usually is about that other person. But it seems like when you get married, it's more so about this other person and making sure this other person's taken care of. And then there's all these different elements in there. And so I think that we fought for marriage equality because we wanted to be treated as equals. We wanted to be equal among straight people to be able to be married and have the right to get married and be able to say, I want to declare my love for this person in a churchly way, whatever it actually is, boils down to be. And the reason why it's not as widespread as they thought it would be when they gave us marriage equality is because a lot of people were like, okay, we are now equal with straight people, but I technically don't need to get married in order to claim my love for somebody. So because our minds are so open, we started to see that maybe there wasn't that huge of a benefit to marriage other than a couple things like your
insurance
and things like that, like the financial benefit side of it.
Well, that's what this is. I looked up a history of marriage and it said most ancient societies needed a secure environment for the perpetuation of the species. A system of rules to handle the granted of the property rights and the protection of bloodlines. The institution of marriage handled these needs. For example, in ancient Hebrew, the law required a man to become a husband of the deceased brother's widow. And it just goes on to other stuff, but it goes all the way back, say, in 1250 to 1300 CE, whatever that is. But I just always thought the church did it, and like, like they wanted society to grow up and get married so that they can control you in some way.
Yeah. I think that's what it's kind of turned into in the religious aspect of things. But marriage as a whole, I don't really think it's that. But our minds are so twisted to be in that, that that's what we think.
I also think that marriage is running out of popularity.
Agreed.
You know, like people are like, fuck this shit. Like, why pay all that money for this big ass celebration to be trapped with somebody you're not going to want to be with in 10 years when you both change?
Agreed.
You know, because society doesn't have us change together anymore. It has us change separately. So relationships are harder to have.
And I also think with these generations now is a lot of the generations aren't like our grandparents' generations where they got married and they got into these fights or these arguments or whatever, and they stuck it through and they dealt with it, or they stayed married and were mad at each other for the rest of their lives. That doesn't happen anymore. And I think a lot of it is because if you look at our generations now, they tend to run from things like conflict and all that kind of stuff. And they don't work through things and they break up over quote unquote small things to our grandparents, but they're big things to us. So our mindsets are so different now than it was back when our grandparents got married and things like that. Back then, that was the primary purpose for marriage, was you're stuck together and it's the, you know, religious thing to do.
Yeah, this generation, we run from things instead of dealing with them, for sure.
Yeah, commitment's an issue. You know, even when they claim to be committed, they're running around and they're, and then if they're so, the person's not running around, the other person's thinking they are because they are, and it's like always back and forth and the blame game, and it's like, I don't know what the answer is to it, but I know what the problem is.
Yeah.
You know, Polly.
Maybe Polly is the answer.
I think the whole entire world should just, I think we should grow weed all over the earth and just burn it all at one time and just everybody get fucked up.
Yeah. Canada is a much happier place.
End it.
So the next question is, why does the gay community think everyone needs to have ripped abs and be attractive to be attractive?
I tend to think we're starting to get away from that a lot, because there's a lot of bear sites and stuff now, and there's bars for bears, and people are like all the different stuff is like, now that like being gay and we're a community, but there's so many sectors in that community.
Agreed.
But we're like, it seems like we all get along. You know, there are people that still shame, but they're insecure assholes that are dealing with their own shit, you know?
Amen.
But yeah. Like me, I'm attracted to anybody. It really, you have to be smart and have a good like energy and all that shit about you. So like, yeah, I don't really go by looks so much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you
preach it, brother. I like my men with long hair like Jesus, just saying.
And, you know, to touch on that, too, is like, I actually tend to find myself more attracted to men that are not ripped and cut. Yeah, men that are ripped and cut are attractive. I'm not saying that. But as far as like people that I'm attracted to, I tend to find that more bearish look, like with a little bit of a gut and a little bit of meat on their bones, to be more attractive than the ripped, cut, muscly guy.
Yeah, I don't like big muscles. It's just uncomfortable. Like, yeah, it's pretty to look at, but who wants to fucking cuddle with a rock? I don't. I've dated that, and it's just uncomfortable. Like, you can have muscle and stuff, but you don't have to be all ripped, and it's just, I mean, I have abs, but I don't do shit for it. And if I didn't have abs, I wouldn't do shit for that either, because I just don't care. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, if you look at all my past exes, except for my last one, Jeremy, they are not that. I mean, they're definitely not that.
Do you have you found that you've toned up more doing drag?
Have I done what?
Has your body toned up or gotten more muscular since you've done drag with all the performing and dancing?
No.
No?
No, I just naturally lean. I'm just... Yeah. I mean, I'm skinny, but I mean, I'm not... I am skinny, okay? But I'm not like... Everyone's like, you're so skinny. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, there's just so many more dudes out here. Because I used to think I was tiny. I did. I was like, I'm just so skinny. But I think it was about like 25, 26. I was like, I'm really not that small. Like, I'm skinny, but I'm not that small. Like, fuck you bitches who all keep calling me skinny. Like, fuck you bitches. Go somewhere.
I think we just need to start loving ourselves more, loving our bodies and loving who we are and what we look like and not worry about what other people are thinking. I mean, there's plenty of people out there that are going to love you for your personality, for who you are as a person. Like, your looks is only a very small piece of that, boo-boo.
Well, as a gay culture, we jump from one relationship to the other. You know, we're not even over or healed from the last one, and we just jump into another one and take all that insecurity, all that untrust, and drag it with us. And then the next person never had a chance, and they're not giving you a chance because they're fucked up. You know, and plus we were brought up fucked up, and we were taught to be insecure about ourselves from the jump. And then when we start dating people, the insecurity is just like all over the place with all the different personalities. So we as a organization, as gay people, we need to organize and we need to like talk to each other and bring each other up more and like be able to be open and raw in front of each other and not be judged.
Yep. And I'm going to say this right now, Craig, you look great.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Doug, you look great.
Finger looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry, you look great.
Oh, thank you. I know.
There it is.
Yes. You look great.
Ooh, little Tony the Tiger. Now we're talking about a nice looking neck.
Terry the Tiger.
So the next
Terry
question.
The Tiger, your next biggest is the inspiration for the podcast? Oh, I'm just kidding.
Oh, he might be the next big inspiration for the podcast. So the next question is, what would you say is the biggest inspiration for the podcast?
Tony the Tiger.
Hell yeah. That's actually a really good question. And I think we kind of hit on this in a couple of episodes, but I don't think it's really been answered in this light. So I think that it's really good to be able to answer it in a different light is what was our biggest inspiration for it.
For us doing the podcast or for?
For us doing the podcast.
Well, it's a platform where I get to say whatever I want and I can see how many people like it and how many people don't. But I really don't give a shit. I just don't. I don't know. What my biggest inspiration? Let me think about that. Maybe we'll come back to it.
So my biggest inspiration for the podcast was I was really trying to figure out who I was as a person. And I really think that me having that journey and me figuring that out during the podcast and everything like that really made me feel like I would be able to help other people and allow them to figure out who they were and what made them them. And I think that was my biggest inspiration, was allowing myself to figure out who I was and helping others figure out who they were.
Yeah, I wasn't at the beginning of it, but that was one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to do it, because like I did the whole AA thing and I know that really it opened me up and let me, I guess, tell what was going on with me. But I also got to hear from other people. And when you do that, it gets you thinking like other perspectives so that you can kind of figure out your thing as well, if that makes sense. Okay. So that's why I joined.
Yeah.
I got my answer now.
Okay, go ahead.
I did it all for the nookie. Yeah, well, Terry and his friend at the time, she's still our friend.
Yeah.
But the friend that was doing the podcast with him back then for Off the Beaten Path, like I liked what they were talking about, but it wasn't like my speed. You know what I mean? Because just like, mm-hmm. I like funny shit. I love to laugh and I like to just carry on. And I like to really get to know people, you know? And what I liked about their podcast was you got to know history and they talked about things that were cool and interesting. You know, where I'm more geared toward getting to know people in that way, individually. But, like, the reason I really joined it was because I just enjoyed making people laugh. That's one of my favorite things in life. Like, I enjoy that I have that natural gift. And when I see people enjoying that gift, it lets me know I'm doing that right. You know, because that's who I am, as a funny person. You know, if people are sad and depressed around me, then I'm not doing something right, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to fix myself so people can enjoy that, you know?
Agreed.
I think everybody, if everybody would stop worrying about everything else and just like be yourself, be the Luna Lovegoods of the world, you know?
Amen. Amen.
There's a button for that.
I know. I just really felt like doing it. But yeah, I actually really, really like that answer. But I mean, that kind of got a little bit nostalgic for me, you know, him bringing up kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal really helped me through.
Off the Beaten Path.
Oh, Off the Beaten Path. Yes, thank you. Off the Beaten Path really helped me through a really crazy time after separating from my wife and going through this whole depression of not feeling like I had friends and nobody cared about me. And when I met Stacy was that diamond in the rough. She was that girl that was similar to me, and I latched on to her and still have not let her go because she's a beautiful soul. And we created something that sparked something that is now a beautiful diamond that was in the rough. And us being able to have guests on and talk to people and educate people and allow people to tell their stories, but being funny and being ourselves at the same time, that is the beautiful part about us doing this podcast, is making people feel good and making people happy and loved and like they are a part of a community. And that's very much the reason why we started the Kind Fam group, so people could come on there and talk and socialize. And my goal is to create a family like I have with this podcast. I've got two awesome brothers now. They're both crazy, but I love them both.
Yeah. I always saw Off the Beaten Path as a foundation. It was really good, because if you didn't have that foundation, we would have struggled a lot getting off the ground in this one. But it was a good foundation, and you fixed everything with that one. And you also worked on yourself, and I'm pretty sure Stacy worked on some things and just enjoyed life, you know? So, like, a good foundation helped build this podcast, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, with us branching off and adding Gianna is one of my favorite choices, you know? Like, decisions or opportunities or whatever you want to call it.
She made the cut.
And there's been several people that we've asked, like Aubrey wants to do a podcast now. I don't know if she had talked to you about that, but she posted on Facebook that she's ready to start her own podcast. So I don't know if she's going to work through you or do her own thing, but maybe you can reach out to her and let her know what to buy if she's needing to get into it on her own and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that today on Facebook.
Yeah, I reached out to her on the post and commented, and her name's actually Ariel, just a correction there.
Why do I keep saying Aubrey?
I don't know, but yeah, and I mean, I love the fact that she's going to branch out and do her own thing, and like we had talked before about, you know, I have this stuff. If you want to use my stuff until you can start, go ahead, because I'm able to help somebody out and that makes me feel good inside. But
isn't her last name Aubel?
Aubel.
I think that's why I keep saying Aubrey. saying Aubrey, because Ariel and Aubel together It confuses me. I keep calling her Aubrey.
Yeah, Aubrey.
Let's change her name. We'll call it Bobette because, you know, she has her Bob and she's Bobette.
So the next question, who are some of the other guests that you would like to bring on to collaborate with on the podcast? Ooh.
I have a transgender friend on TikTok that I've been talking to here and there, and he's a truck driver, I think. He's usually in some type of weird, like, big truck, but
oh, okay.
I've invited him to come on because he seems like he'd be pretty cool. He says think about it.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, I just wanted to be a fun episode, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the only person I've been thinking about lately is like working toward having him on.
And, you know, the funny thing about that is, before I allow Gianna to answer this question, is we are literally ending season 2 right now with this episode. This is the last episode. And the last week I've been getting messages, and I know Gianna's been getting messages of people that want to be on. This is starting
to get them on.
Yeah, but I just love the fact that this is starting to be something that somebody wants to do, and they reach out to us and say something about it. And that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. My baby's growing. Yeah.
All right, that's kind of what I was going to say. I've asked so many different people, and I mean, there's more people that I want to, but it's just, there's only so much that, we can't go too far in advance because, I mean, who knows what scheduling will change and what that. So it's just, I want to have everybody on. That's the thing. It's just,
yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Get them on.
I completely agree.
That's what we're doing. It's just all in due time.
We can record any time. There's just seasons when they go up, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And we can record ahead and save them, edit them ahead of time, schedule them, and they go up automatically. Like, we have ways to do that. And that's the beauty of doing a podcast that isn't live all the time, is we can take that time to do that.
Right. So if anybody's listening, just let us know, y'all.
Yeah, I would love to do lives someday, but once we get big enough for that, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Because really, like, if we're going to do lives, I'm going to quit my job, and that's going to be my job is, you know, podcast.
Yeah.
You know, everything else we do. So.
That would be awesome.
So the next question is, out of all three of you, who is the most hard-headed? Oh, man, that's a loaded question.
Yeah. Like, I know you all, but I don't know you all, like,
that.
So I used to think I was hard-headed, but I'm not, because I totally listen to both sides of stories, and I can change my thoughts of things, so I don't believe it's me.
Yeah, I don't see hard-headed as being any of us, really. You know, I mean, everybody has their moments, but generally speaking, we deal with things, we grow from them, we don't. You know, I'm not that way. How dare you say that type of person, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what makes us kind of click, is that we can talk through things, because I think that's been the bond that all three of us have had since meeting each other. And even before Craig had become a part of the podcast, we always had that communication factor there and talked through things. And like, Doug's talked to me about stuff. I've talked to Doug about stuff. Gianna's opened up to both of us about stuff. And I think that has kind of really helped us in that aspect. And I really don't think any of us are necessarily hard-headed.
Are these questions from the fam?
Yes.
Like other people? Who asked that one?
I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
I just pulled them out of my messages. And
I mean, it's pretty like an interesting question.
It is. You know?
Like, who do you think is the hard-headed? So whoever ask this question, you go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, like, that's cool. If you're an active listener, you probably picked up on some things.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So the next question is, which co-host has the weirdest kink?
I've done everything, so I really don't have any kinks, because I'd done it all, but I was also wasn't as interested to go try it again.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured that way out, that I don't have any kinks. I mean, the only thing I haven't done has been shit on. So, and I'm not going to go there because it's not into that. I'm not judging the people that are, but like I'm a super taster and I can smell things that are really strong. So like feces and urine are very strong to me. Foot odor, arm odor, like any body smell. Like I can't have sex with somebody if they haven't showered, like at least that day at some point, you know, or like after a workout. Like I'm just not into that smell. Like,
yeah.
And there's people that are really into it and it gets them off, you know. But I don't know.
I like a sweaty smell.
Oh.
But I like pissing on people too, come to find out. So that's probably my weirdest one, but
so that's not far, too weird.
See, I haven't experimented everything. That's kind of what journey I'm on right now with my, is I literally have a sexual bucket list, so I can basically try everything except for shit, blood, kids, and animals.
What those about DP?
Literally my limit.
What about
double
DP?
Penetration? I mean, I've tried. Yeah, I mean, I'm game. I've done that, and I'll do it again. I mean, I done told y'all I'm kind of a size queen.
I mean, I'm right up the same alley. Like I really haven't experienced a whole hell of a lot, so I really can't answer that question on like what I'm into or what I like, just because I haven't experienced everything that's out there.
Well, this summer when you go back to the campground, you'll be able to do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could have last time. You just didn't understand that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's fine. You know, now you could.
Yeah.
So you could, like, experiment and have fun.
Hell yeah.
You know?
I think that's why
I haven't been to a campground.
Oh. Because
I was afraid of what people would throw at me, but now I'm not. So I will definitely be going to those.
Oh, definitely. They're fun.
Hella fun. So, which one of you is the least likely to climb Mount Everest? Wow. That's a good question.
I'm an adrenaline junkie. So.
Yeah, me too. I fucking robbed a bunch of banks when I was little and went to jail because my adrenaline junkie. You know, I love that, the high off that adrenaline rush, you know? Like, I'd do that shit in a heartbeat.
See, I would love to climb Mount Everest. So, I'm going to put me in the one that's not going to do it, because Mount Everest is cold as fuck, and I hate being cold. I hate it.
Yeah, if I'm bundled up enough, I'll be fine.
Yeah,
I don't like being cold too, but it's the experience. That's what it's worth.
Well, girlfriend, you go right ahead, because you know, many people do not come down alive from climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah, that's fine. If it's my time, it's my time.
They still finding bodies up there thawing out and falling.
At least I'll be preserved.
Yeah.
They so still make me pretty and have put me in a casket.
So who would be most likely to go on Survivor?
I would totally do it.
I would do it.
Yeah. I don't want to do Naked and Afraid because I hate bug bites. But I'll do a Survivor type thing.
Yeah. We should all three try out for Survivor and see which one gets in.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm game.
And when we come back home, we're going to be living with you, Craig.
Okay.
Hey, I'll be hiding all kind of weed in my anus.
Oh, yeah?
They'll be like, hey, where'd you get that weed from? He's like, that's none of your business. And I beg you to stay out of my personal affairs.
He'll be like, I wonder if I can smoke this leaf and it'll get me high. So, if all of you were on Survivor, would you make an alliance with one another? And if so, who would be the first to turn on the other two?
You can't. Who? I don't think you could answer that.
Who would eat someone?
No. Who would? Who would eat someone? No. Who would be the first to turn on the other two if you started an alliance on Survivor?
I wouldn't turn.
Yeah, I wouldn't give a shit. I'd be like, "Good luck, girls. I'll see you later." You know.
It's a game. Like that's literally what it is.
It don't matter which one of us wins $1 million. We're sharing it with all the other ones.
Yeah, right. That's where my head's at right now.
We're set up.
We're gonna party like rock stars.
The podcast got $1 million.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let's go buy equipment.
you, and the other two, or myself and the other two. I mean, like, we're at a point where like. The $1 million, all of us would benefit from that working together. So
buy a house in Tennessee.
I guess yeah. I guess really we get to the point where you have to figure out who's gonna carry you to the end. So if all three of us ended at the end, then we would have to try to figure out which one was more likely to win.
Which one of us bitches has most energy right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been doing the best.
We're going to carry your ass for the next as far as we can so you can save that energy and then you can finish.
Okay, so this is the perfect question right here. Who can build a fire?
Me.
I do it all the time.
No, with just a striker.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, then.
I like fluid.
You just find some rotted bark and you dig the hairy stuff up from underneath. Throw some pine needles in there.
Yeah.
The pine needles have to be like smashed up a little bit because they make a fuel, and then it's not too hard. Or find some dry grass and just have Gianna touch it.
Yeah. But yeah, so Doug's going to the end and he's going to win us $1 million. That's the answer to that question.
Isn't there already a burning torch at the end though?
No. In order to win Survivor. A part of it is you have to build the fire
with that whittle stick thingy.
Yeah. But that, I think that's only a tiebreaker, to be honest, is the fire making thing.
Yeah.
But if we tie, then whoever can make the fire the fastest is the one that wins.
If neither one of the top ones make it with a fire?
Well, you have to, you got to go until you make the fire. It's whoever gets it lit first.
Yeah. Oh, literally. I was like, why is that the tiebreaker? Like, you just lived your life in the fucking woods. Like, you haven't learned how to start a fire yet?
Give me a magnifying glass.
Okay, so the next question is, without seeing each other naked, who has the biggest cock?
Well, everybody's seen mine, so...
I actually haven't. The place.
No?
No? I heard you're on Twitter. But I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there's
my plug, y'all. Mr. Lutz.
So, I have. And I'm going to give it to Craig.
Yeah, I would say me too because I'm a twink. They're usually known for having big dicks. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they say when you
get... You get big dick vibes.
Well, yeah, but like, I'm overweight at the same time, so they say that when you gain 10 pounds, you lose like an inch or some shit like that.
But when you lose 45, 50
pounds over. So I don't know. Maybe when I was thinner, it was bigger. That's all I'm saying. But I don't know. Sometimes now it's like, are you there? If it's cold and I'm in the pool, you might as well hang it up.
Okay, so let's put it this way. We're not, all of us are not exactly small. Like, we're not, like, below average or anything. Or we're all definitely above average.
I'm a grower, not a shower also.
Oh, I definitely am too.
I'm a little bit of both.
Now, when I'm thinner, like, when I'm down to my, when I'm 190, I was definitely a shower and a grower. But the extra fat that built up around the base, it does change it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever asked this question is a thirsty bitch.
Probably one of your sisters.
Probably.
So maybe. What is the weirdest thing you have ever done with your AirPods on or in? Well, they have to be in to be on.
I just got AirPods. I mean, I've had sex with... No, I haven't had sex with... I haven't done anything weird, so there's my answer.
What, do they mean, like, you have your AirPods on and you're jerking off in the back of a bus to a porn movie? Like, is that what they're talking about?
Probably something along those lines.
Like, the AirPods I have aren't even mine. They're yours. And I don't even... I've used them once.
Yeah.
Just to have a conversation with you in this grocery store. So I've never done anything weird with them.
Yeah, I've never done anything weird with them unless you consider me taking a piss while talking to somebody on the phone. But that's about the weirdest thing I've ever done.
So whoever asked this question, what did you do?
Yeah, inquiring minds want to have you on the show.
So what is your favorite song and why?
Fuck Me. Because it says Fuck Me. No, I don't. I have no idea. I like so many.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like so many. I can't think of a favorite. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're all my favorite because they just make me happy.
Yeah. That was music just, is a really big
cheesy
part.
To answer.
Yeah, music is a really big part of my life personally. So, I mean, I have a lot of songs that I really enjoy and like to listen to.
Yeah, and my average song choices range from the 50s all the way to today in every genre. Like, I'm all over the place. Some days I listen to rap, some days hip hop, some days country, some days classic, like old school, Sinatra, things like that. Like, I'm all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a favorite. I just love music.
Yeah, me too. So the next question is, what celebrity do you get mistaken for?
They used to call me the Undertaker when I was incarcerated because I'm so big.
Yeah.
And like, I worked out when I was incarcerated for a long time, and I was like cut up and huge, and they just said I look like the Undertaker when I walked around. I don't know if I do, but I don't know who the Undertaker is.
You kind of resemble him. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it, I guess.
What's he look like? I mean, look him up. Go ahead. You all talk amongst yourselves.
I get Channing Tatum and Justin Timberlake.
Oh. Those are interesting. Probably Justin's more when you have, like, you're a little bit longer hair.
Yeah, I think Channing Tatum. It's just, I mean, we have similar facial features, but I don't know.
Who?
I don't see Channing Tatum too much.
Channing Tatum?
Looks or, like G?
Yeah. Or Justin Timberlake. So mine is actually John Travolta.
Huh.
Everybody always says that I look like John Travolta.
I could see it.
Oh, man, really?
Good Lord. Kinda.
I mean,
Undertaker?
Yeah. I could see why, I guess. I mean, I don't see it, but I could see why. I don't do that to people. Like, oh, you look like this person. Well, you look like yourself because you're fucking human and you're your own person. So
yeah. Agreed. With that.
But that's not where my mind goes.
I don't think The Undertaker looks like this anymore, but I would totally bang him.
Let me see.
Would you?
There's a bunch of them.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me.
Yeah, he looks really angry and pissed off. And like,
he turned out to be a really hot daddy.
Yeah.
All right, so the next question and the final question to wrap up this episode of Kind of a Big Deal podcast is, what would you name the autobiography of your life?
Can you use some lube, please? Because I've been fucked my whole life. Can you use lube? I know it's going to happen, and I'm going to let it. Just use lube, please. I'll just leave a spray bottle hanging off my hip. You just grab it, spray it up, and just go ahead.
Dude. No luck at all.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, you come near me with anything sticky, I'm gonna fuck your ass up. What's that shit called?
Astroglide.
I'm sorry. Whoever invented that, they need to skin him alive.
Yeah.
Or do him with that shit. Fuck that.
Oh, that stuff is horrible. G?
Yes. No lux at all.
Lux be a lady tonight.
And yeah. Mine would be... Oh, I didn't even think about it. Let's see.
Clay mud.
Clay mud.
Claymation.
There it is.
Claygation.
I don't know.
I kind of like the claymation one because that fits me. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that one. Thank you, Doug. I just cheated.
Yeah. Terry Berry. Come up with a name for Gianna now. I like Gianna Berry.
Oh, Gianna Berry.
But I also like Craigie Berry. Craigie Berry. Mm-hmm. G-Spot.
All right, so until next time, you can follow the podcast at facebook.com/KOABDpod. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at KOABDpod. So until next time, stay true.
Stay lubed.
Damn.
And always be a big
deal.
Yeah. Bye-bye now. I stole his shit.
That was lame.
We love you all.